It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
Once again, we are going to walk a tightrope today on the line of fire. We're going to ask the question, how can we fight against violence and bullying of young people who identify as gay or transgender in school without legitimizing or normalizing homosexuality? Michael Brown, glad to be with you today. I would love to hear from you. If you are an educator, if you are involved in the educational system, administrator, teacher, I know some of our time zones will be right in the thick of your educational day. Maybe you're a retired educator. I'd love to hear from you and get your perspective, as well as get the perspective of parents with kids in school that are dealing with these issues from one side or another. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. You can interact online on our Facebook page at Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown on Facebook. What'll make it even more challenging to walk this tightrope today is that I am fighting off cold symptoms, but I'd be much rather be here with you talking about these critically important societal issues than snuggle up in bed with hot tea under the covers, maybe reading a book. No, I'd rather be here. 866-34-TRUTH. Now, let me tell you why this really is important for us as Christians. As followers of Jesus, we should be championing issues of justice. We should be championing issues of compassion. We should be protecting those who are outcast. We should be fighting for those who are mistreated by society. On the one hand, on the other hand, how do we do that without legitimizing something that we feel is not normal or not God's intent or not God's ideal or contrary to Scripture, or certainly for younger kids, just a confusing part of their lives that they will pass through? But first, let me catch up on what's going on, because you may not know everything that's happened. I think probably most of you heard about the tragic case of Tyler Clementi, 18-year-old freshman student at Rutgers University. A roommate filmed him having some sexual contact with another man, making out, having some sexual contact with another man, posted this on social networking, online. I mean, a complete invasion of privacy. Doesn't matter what the guy was doing. It's a complete invasion of privacy, whether he was committing a heterosexual act or homosexual act. We agree on that. Absolutely wrong. Inexcusable. This young man, was he openly gay or not? There are conflicting reports or people are not sure about it. But if he wasn't, now he's exposed as this. He reaches out for some help within the campus, apparently doesn't get a response, and then jumps off the George Washington Bridge. So obviously having some degree of emotional instability leading up to this, jumps off the bridge. Can you imagine you send your kid off to school, then you get the report he's jumped off a bridge and killed himself, and then the types of things that provoked it all could have been prevented. So tragic case, but it's not the only thing that's happened. Now, the questions are, was this a hate crime? Was this something specifically because the guy didn't want to have a gay roommate and he was exposing his homosexuality? Could it be that campuses need to address the question? Should you say gays have special housing? Well, if you put gays together with gays, isn't that like straights together with straights, male, female? I mean, don't you want to separate that on campus? Well, how does that work? Or can you request a straight roommate or a gay? You realize you start to get into a whole lot of questions here. But sadly, there are a number of other situations related to what would be called gay-related bullying in schools that took place just in recent days. Either a boy who wanted to be on the cheerleading team and was razzed by his fellow classmates as if he was gay, or someone that was straight razzed as being gay, or someone who was gay or trans, identified as transgender or gay, they were bullied by their fellow students and committed suicide. There have been a rash of them, to the point that Ellen DeGeneres, maybe America's most famous open lesbian, made this statement on her show.
I am devastated over the death of 18-year-old Tyler Clementi. If you don't know, Tyler was a bright student at Rutgers University whose life was senselessly cut short. He was outed as being gay on the internet, and he killed himself. Something must be done. This month alone, there have been a shocking number of news stories about teens who have been teased and bullied and then committed suicide, like 13-year-old Seth Walsh in Tehachapi, California, 13-year-old Asher Brown in Cypress, Texas, and 15-year-old Billy Lucas in Greensburg, Indiana. This needs to be a wake-up call to everyone that teenage bullying and teasing is an epidemic in this country and the death rate is climbing. One life lost in this senseless way is tragic. Four lives lost is a crisis. And these are just the stories we hear about. How many other teens have we lost? How many others are suffering in silence? Being a teenager and figuring out who you are is hard enough without someone attacking you. My heart is breaking for their families, for their friends, and for our society that continues to let this happen. These kids needed us, and we have an obligation to change this. There are messages everywhere that validate this kind of bullying and taunting, and we have to make it stop. We can't let intolerance and ignorance take another kid's life. And I want anyone out there who feels different and alone to know that I know how you feel. And there is help out there, and you can find support in your community.
All right. Obviously, this is a painful situation. Obviously, this is a tragic situation. Reading from a report, Associated Press, October 1st, Jeff Mulvihill and Samantha Henry. Clemente's death was part of a string of suicides last month involving youngsters who were believed to have been victims of anti-gay bullying. 15-year-old Billy Lucas hanged himself in a barn in Greensburg, Indiana. Asher Brown, 13, shot himself in the head in Houston. 13-year-old Seth Walsh of Tehachapi, California, hanged himself from a tree in his backyard. Now, here's our moral predicament as followers of Jesus. If you're aware of what's happening in the schools, and again, if you're an educator, I would love to hear from you in particular, but the phones are open to others, and Mike in Winston-Salem, you'll be first up. Okay, here's our moral predicament. If you know much about what's happening with children's education in schools and the whole anti-bullying or no-name-calling week thrusts, agendas within the schools, although I wholeheartedly agree that kids should treat other kids with respect and kids shouldn't bully and this kid is too fat or this one has glasses or this one has different colored hair or this one boy seems to be feminine or whatever the thing is or this one dresses a certain way because their religion, you treat everyone kindly and nicely and don't pick on people, don't hit people, don't bully people. Yeah, that we just try to teach that, although as long as we have the human race here and kids being part of this human race, we're not going to eradicate this problem. But by all means, we want kids to be nice to each other and not to hit each other and be cruel and taunt. And kids can be incredibly cruel to each other. That being said, if you know much about a lot of the gay activism that is pushing the no-name-calling anti-bullying agenda in the schools, they mean well by it. In other words, in their minds, they're doing the right thing. I say it's misguided and ultimately destructive. Because what it comes in with is the whole normalization of homosexuality in the schools. The whole normalization of this boy has two dads, this girl has two moms, and you just need to embrace that. That's part of life today. And hey, you may be gender queer, you may be gender nonconforming, or maybe as you start to come into puberty, you're going to realize this and realize that, and it's fine. There's heterosexuality, there's homosexuality, there's all kinds of different sexual orientations, and they're all fine. Now you start teaching that to impressionable little kids. Now you're bringing in moral judgments, value judgments into the thing, as opposed to saying, treat everyone nicely. Don't be mean to other kids. So the question is, how do we respond to this with compassion? How do we, as followers of Jesus, help lead the way to instruct kids better and to have a safer environment in the schools without playing into homosexual activism in the schools? Now, I also want to talk specifically today about Rutgers University, because Rutgers University is another school that was founded as a Christian school. It was the eighth institution of higher learning established in the American colonies, 1766, originally as Queen's College. It was part of Dutch Reform movement, as I understand, early affiliation with Dutch Reformed Church, and Its motto, again, these were, many of these schools founded as seminaries and then expanded to larger educational curricula. Its motto was, Son of Righteousness, shine upon the West also. Today, Rutgers is known as one of the most gay-friendly campuses, or more gay-friendly campuses in America. So a lot to think through, sort through, some fascinating information, some painful information. But as always, we will have more light than heat today on the Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH. If you're an educator, give us some insight on the environment in the schools. We'd love to hear from you. Back with more. Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, so glad to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH online. Ask Dr. Brown. That's sdrbrown.org. There is still time, just a few hours, but there's still time to sign up for my online class all this coming week, Tuesday to Friday morning, on Jewish roots. Be perhaps the most eye-opening class on the subject you've ever had. You can still register to watch it online if you miss the classes. For your same subscription fee, you'll be able to catch the classes once they're available for video on demand online. So go to askdrbrown.org for more on that. Okay, we're talking today about the question of how do we work against bullying of kids in schools who identify as gay, bisexual, transgender, etc. Work against bullying and mistreatment of these kids, which is something as Christians we should think about, be concerned about, and be grieved over when we hear about suicides by kids who identified as gay and were tormented and harassed. And most folks that I know that tell me today they're homosexual or transgender, many of them, if not most, will talk about what they suffered in school growing up. How do we work against the bullying without normalizing homosexuality? Without saying, you know, it's perfectly fine, this is just another expression, you have homosexuality, you have heterosexuality, they're each equally the same. How do we work for tolerance in a good sense, not tolerance meaning accepting of wrong or sin, how do we work for tolerance in a good sense without legitimizing a wrong behavior, without legitimizing a wrong way of life? Mike, you're going to be on first, but how to run. Let me say a few things first. And in particular, if you're an educator, if you're involved in the school system, or if you've had some experience with your own kid being picked on for any reason in school, maybe picked on because they were taller, shorter, smarter, dumber, different hair color, different expression, they were just different than other kids. Or if you went through that, you were picked on. I would love to hear from you. 866-34-TRUTH. I want to be frank and say that these issues cause me a lot of personal conflict. You say, why? Isn't the Bible clear? Yeah, of course the Bible's clear. Don't you think that it's clear that certain things are good for society and certain things are bad? Sure, that's clear to me. It's also clear to me that human beings whom God loves, human beings who are flawed like all of us, human beings who need the love of God like all of us, human beings for whom Jesus died like all of us, that fellow human beings are suffering, are struggling, are hurting, and that they did not just decide one day, you know, I think I'm going to be gay. Yeah, you know, I think I'm just, even though I have no interest in the same sex, I just think I'm going to be gay. Or, you know, I think it'd be kind of cool as a seven-year-old boy to really think that I'm a girl and to want to go to school dressed as a girl. I think that would be really cool. No, you're talking about people with issues, people struggling. People, many of them fight against this. Many of them raised in faith households think they're damned. They're not loved by God. How are they possible? You know, how they can they change? They cry themselves to sleep, hoping they're going to change and wake up different the next day. These things should touch our hearts. Well, the Bible says it's an abomination. I understand what the scriptures say about homosexual practice. I've probably written about it, taught about it more than the great, great, great majority of those listening. But I'm conflicted over this by love. On the one hand, knowing what's happening in our educational systems, and it is outrageous beyond description, at the same time knowing and understanding that there are people who are being mistreated, who are being picked on, who are being harassed, and that is plainly wrong and unchristian. Let me grab some calls, and then I'm going to talk about more of the history of Rutgers. And I want to share with you my latest editorial that relates to this, published in the Barbados Advocate this past Sunday. We lost Denise in Jacksonville. All right, I'm going to go to Stockbridge, Georgia in a moment. James, your wife is a teacher. All right, James, I'd love to hear your perspective, sir. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on, James.
Oh, hi. Dr. Brown, first, thank you for what you do. Keep doing it. You're a hero.
Well, thank
as
you,
we
sir.
Are, as we do the kingdom. My wife is a teacher at an alternative last chance high school.
Wow.
So these are, she calls it her mission field.
Hey, James, just take a moment and tell our listeners exactly what an alternative last chance high school is and the kinds of students that would be in that.
It is a high school that is set up for, was primarily set up for students who are, have lifestyle issues, have educational issues, have had problems run in with the law, with drugs, with gangs, and have, for one reason or another, cannot attend regular schools anymore. They've been put out.
Mm.
And so now their option is they can go here, or they can do something else. They cannot come back into the school system.
Got it. What a mission field.
And often they're there because they're told you go here or you go to jail because of things they've done within the school or without outside school.
Boy.
So it's an interesting group of kids.
Yes, and, sure.
So there's a large gay population within the school. A lot of gang activity, a lot of drugs, things like that, that they still have to combat. And there's even some of that within the leadership as teachers because there are people of every style and flavor in all parts of our society, as we now know. My wife does something that's really unique, and I believe it's the Christian thing to do. She is in your face with the students because she's a Christian and tells you you really need to think about what you're doing lifestyle-wise for the ones who are involved in the gay lifestyle. But at the same time, she absolutely will not allow anyone to come down and attack them personally.
Fascinating.
So she is saying no to darkness, but still saying yes to light.
And she's allowed to do that within the school there.
Well, they say that's illegal, that you can't do that. You know, the separation of church and state and all the stuff that goes along with that.
Mm-hmm.
But our philosophy has been we are citizens first of the kingdom.
Yeah.
We love the kids. And we don't want to just make a difference. As her job as a teacher is to impart information, but she believes she has a higher calling, that is to impart to them principles that they can live by, not to just be a success on the academic level,
right?
But on the lifestyle level. And so she gets to pray with kids. She doesn't get to pray with kids. She prays with the kids. They come to her for counsel, not just at school, but away from school. She's led many to the Lord. She prays with them when they're sick. And her principal has said to her more than once, you really know that this could get you in trouble.
Uh-huh.
And she says, if it does, it does.
Got it. Hey, James, we've got a break here. Thank you for that amazing testimony. I guess when you're in a situation like that, when you are with kids in so much crisis and you can offer them some light and hope, perhaps the school system is willing to say, you know, I think this is a positive direction to go. Amazing. Thank you, sir. Thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire, Michael Brown. So glad to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH. In particular, if you're an educator, if you were picked on in school, if you were the parent of a kid who was picked on in school, I'd love to hear from you, 866-348-7884. Or if you're not active on our Facebook community, go to Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown, on Facebook. Just so you can be aware of what will be coming, do you know the name Matthew Shepard? You're familiar with the name Matthew Shepard? Young man, openly homosexual, just taken by two other men in Wyoming years back, severely beaten, strung up basically to left to die. I mean, a horrific, violent, ugly case. And the men sentenced in the case, there was no hate crime sentencing. They were fairly and rightly sentenced because of their crime. Later on, at least one of them alleged that this was not gay-related. It's not that they were upset with the guy trying to pick them up or something. It was all drug-related, money-related. But the case is basically recognized nationally in the popular mind as gay-related. It's certainly a horrific, terrible crime, and certainly you understand why Matthew Shepard's mother fights with gay activists to say, listen, everyone needs to be protected by the law, and we need hate crimes. I understand how a mom would feel, surely. And the hate crimes bill that was passed was the Matthew Shepard Hate Crimes Act. Again, people would say the thing itself was not a hate crime. It was, or better, every crime is a hate crime. You don't beat someone to death because you like the person. Of course, it's a hate crime. That's a whole other subject. But what's happened now with Tyler Clementi's tragic suicide, Rutgers University, 18-year-old, this is going to revive all the more talk about hate crimes, talk about protection, talk about what's happening in the schools. And it's something that we can't just have some gut-level response to as Christians and say, well, you know, homosexual is an abomination. No, no. We understand homosexual practice is wrong, sinful, abominable in God's sight. We understand that. We understand that there are many practices, many acts that are sinful, ugly in God's sight. The question is, how should we respond as Christians to things that do happen to kids who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender at school? Should we simply say, well, that's what they get for identifying like that? Or do we say that there are plenty, look, kids identify as Satanists in school. They were all black and certain makeup and identify as Satanists. They identify as people of other weird cults and religions. Do we say, well, you beat them up, that's what they deserve? Of course not. Of course not. God forbid. So how do we combat the hatred or the bullying that can be in schools without legitimizing, normalizing homosexuality, which is what happens with the gay agenda getting behind anti-bullying in our schools? Let me go back to the phones. Robert in, is it Whitsett, North Carolina?
Yes, Whitsett, North Carolina. How you doing, Dr. Brown?
Good, sir. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. I think you do it by equal treatment across the board. You know, there have been thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of children that's been abused, picked on for various reasons. I've seen kids picked on because I happen to be of African American. I grew up in D.C. streets, and I've seen kids beat up because they were white. I've seen kids picked on because they didn't wear up-to-date clothes, and they have to fight their way out. So I think that the school system has really stripped the teachers and the administrators, the Board of Education, rather, of their power. You got all these special interest groups like the ACLJ, and they come into the rescue. And basically, I used to do recruiting for a culinary school, and I watched the disrespect the students give the teachers and stuff, and administration don't do anything about it.
Yeah, you know, Robert, you hit on such fundamentally important issues about the general lack of authority or respect for authority in our culture. Obviously, there's the breakdown in the home, and then because there's the breakdown in the home, there's the breakdown in the schools, and then where else are kids going to learn things? They don't learn them in the home. They're not going to learn them in the schools, and it's a much bigger issue. You're absolutely right. Many times the ones raising their voices the loudest are the gay activists, but of course it's a much, much bigger issue. In certain parts of the country, it remains an ugly issue in terms of race, in terms of white supremacy, or you grew up in an area where kids got beat up for being white, whatever. I mean, for the most part, it's been the opposite in our society. But how do we recover some of these essential dignities, the dignity of human beings, the dignity of being older and having authority. I mean, these are very, very deep, widespread issues.
I think we got to go back to the fundamental principles that the country was founded on, which we know was largely taken from scriptures. I think that America, if you remember back, there was a young teenager that marred a guy's Mercedes in a foreign country, and they said, we flogged people over here for that.
Yeah,
America was all up in arms about that. We got to go back to basic discipline, not abuse, but basic discipline. And as you said, it has to begin in the home. A parent can't come and jump on a teacher when the kids are wrong, and that's what you got today. The kids don't have no reason to fear because they know when they get home, the parents are just going to jump on their side and not hear the whole story.
Yeah, you know, and Robert, what this points to is the larger breakdown of gospel foundations in society today. You know, sometimes we fight battles over one or two major moral issues, which is right and fine, but when you take away godly foundations from the society, everything gets messed up. Our whole perspective on everything and the value of human life and so on and so forth. So thanks for sounding the alarm on the larger issues, Robert. I appreciate it. And it's something we cannot let go of. Appreciate the call, sir.
Oh, thank you, sir. You have a wonderful day.
All right, you too. You know, look, that fundamentally, we're talking about tips of branches growing out of a very, very big tree. And the very, very big tree is a tree of departing from biblical truths, biblical values. I'm not saying that America used to be a wonderful Christian country in the days of slavery or segregation or mistreatment of Native Americans. I'm not so naive as to think we were this perfect, wonderful Christian country. But come on, just watch shows from a generation ago, TV shows from a generation ago. Look at how the parents were treated. Look at the respect, the father knows best type of mentality. Look at the respect that was there for authority. Look at the honor that was given to older people and the idea that older people have wisdom, etc. So many of the simple foundations of society, which come from biblical principles and biblical truths and ultimately begin with a reverence for God and who he is, those break down. Of course, everything else breaks down. And here, perfect example. Robert O'Brien, assistant instructor of anthropology at Rutgers, has joined students in the Safe Space push, said their efforts had thus far been greeted with a lukewarm reception from administrators. He says students were told things like they don't understand how the world works. They were told Rutgers is all a safe place, so why would they need a safe space in their dorm? Said O'Brien, here's a university professor or an assistant instructor who identifies as bisexual and gender nonconforming. In other words, you can't even say male or female anymore. We don't even have those foundations clearly in place, be it in preschool or in college campuses, in many of our schools. How are we going to get the other things right? I'm trying to give the wake-up call yet again as a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity here on the Line of Fire, saying we need revival in the church and moral reformation in society. And it begins with us. God of light. Got a lot of ground to cover, but we are going to cover it here on the Line of Fire today. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us as we talk about bullying in schools, violence against kids who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. How do we combat that without standing for the normalizing or legitimizing of homosexual practice? 866-34-TRUTH. Online, ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Click contact to get a message to me. Okay, let's focus in on Rutgers University for a moment. As I mentioned earlier, it was founded in 1766, originally as Queens College. It is located in New Jersey, for those that are not familiar. It has several campuses now and tens of thousands of students. It was originally affiliated with the Dutch Reform Church, and its motto was, Son of Righteousness, shine upon the West also. In Latin, in the inner ring of the seals surrounding a stylized sunburst. Today, the non-discrimination policy at Rutgers includes the following categories. You ready? Race, religion, color, national origin, ancestry, age, sex, sexual orientation, gender identity and expression, disability, atypical hereditary cellular or blood trait, marital status, civil union status, domestic partnership status, military status, and veteran status in any other category protected by law. A university president, obviously grieving over what happened at Rutgers, and then this sends a message to the nation that this is what happens at Rutgers. He said, this tragedy and the events surrounding it have raised critical questions about the climate of our campuses. Students, parents, and alumni have expressed deep concern that our university, which prides itself on its rich diversity, is not fully welcoming and accepting of all students. Now, I have in my hand Shane Windemeyer's The Advocate College Guide for LGBT Students, 100 Best Campuses, Best of the Best, Top 20. And Rutgers is highly rated here in this survey by gay activist, gay campus activist Shane Windemeyer. From LGBT students at Rutgers, top three descriptors of the LGBT campus environment: supportive, diverse, and inclusive. Question: what makes your campus feel welcoming and safe for LGBT students? Quote from a 22-year-old bisexual female freshman: the acceptance can be seen through the people, LGBT services, and the programs that are queer. I found support easily in my first year to come out. Unlike in high school, I had unconditional support. Question: how do you feel about coming out on your campus? Well, I think it's a slightly profane comment, if I understood it correctly. Then it goes on, seriously, I think the campus is an atmosphere that has a proven record of queer support. Rutgers does care. The queer scene is visibly out there, and on and on. How LGBT-friendly are faculty in the classroom? It varies, but all in all, my experiences have been LGBT-inclusive and really progressive. Actually, the queer faculty are highly visible and are quite well-known in their fields, too. Several queer faculty are out on campus. I never realized that there were so many until my sophomore year. On and on. Okay, it does not minimize the tragedy that took place. It does not minimize the wrongness of invading anyone's privacy. And obviously, 18-year-old kids involved with it did something stupid, idiotic, wrong, sinful by invading someone else's privacy and broadcasting it, regardless of what the person was doing. If they videoed the guy going to the bathroom, if they videoed the guy having heterosexual sex or homosexual sex, it's complete invasion of privacy. It's wrong. They did something idiotic and stupid, obviously. In their wildest dreams, they didn't think it would lead to a suicide. But think of the college campus environment to have, quote, openly queer faculty. You just have to be accepting of that because it's fine. In other words, there can be no moral judgment about anything. I wonder how much tolerance there would be. Again, I'm not saying this to minimize the problem. I'm simply wondering out loud how much tolerance there would be for students. Let's say you got a gay student in your room and you are part of an ex gay group urging people to come out of homosexuality or saying there's a better way that for those with unwanted same-sex attraction, that there's a better way for them. And you're having a Bible study and having a Bible study and discussion in your room about how Jesus can change even homosexuals. I wonder if that would be considered harassment by a gay roommate. I wonder if that would be considered acceptable to have that. I wonder how the campus would look at groups that said, okay, we are a Christian group and we believe that all sex outside of male-female marriage is sinful, and therefore all the promiscuity in the dorms and the gay relationships, they're all wrong, and we call people to repent in Jesus' name. I wonder how much tolerance there would be towards that group. We come back, I want to share with you an editorial that was just published in the Barbados Advocate this past Sunday, as well as give you my bottom line thoughts on today's subject. Hey, tomorrow, if you participated in the Day of Prayer for Jerusalem this past Sunday, if your church, October 3rd, participate in the Day of Prayer from Jerusalem, I need to hear from you tomorrow on the broadcast. You'll understand when we get there. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us. Again, what makes this situation of bullying so difficult is, on the one hand, we have an aggressive gay activist agenda wanting to normalize homosexuality in our schools. Look, right here in Charlotte Mecklenburg schools, we fought against this unsuccessfully. But gender identity or gender expression is a protected category in the kids' schools, meaning that a cross-dresser is a specifically protected category, as opposed to saying, don't put the other kids in an uncomfortable situation with Johnny coming to school dressed as Jane. That's unfair to them. That kid needs help, but don't impose that on the whole school. Of course, don't beat the kid up. Of course. Let me read you what I wrote for the Barbados Advocate, my third editorial there, how gay rights are trumping religious rights in America. The Stonewall riots in New York City heralded the beginning of the gay liberation movement in America. Since that fateful event in June 1969, the movement has made startling advances, and the progression has been nothing short of breathtaking. First, gay activists came out of the closet. Second, they demanded what they considered to be their rights. Third, they demanded that everyone recognize those rights. Fourth, they are attempting to strip away the rights of those who oppose them. Fifth, they're trying to force those who oppose their rights into the closet, in particular, conservative Christians. The Washington Post reported on April 9, 2009, that faith organizations and individuals who view homosexuality as sinful and refuse to provide services to gay people are losing a growing number of legal battles that they say are costing them their religious freedom, end quote. Yes, when push comes to shove, gay rights are triumphing over religious rights in America, including freedom of speech and freedom of conscience. In confirmation of this, Georgetown law professor Kai Feldblum, nominated by President Obama to serve in the U.S. Equal Opportunity Commission and herself a lesbian, remarked that when religious liberty and sexual liberty conflict, quote, I'm having a hard time coming up with any case in which religious liberty should win. Who exactly has been affected by this? Again, my words now, the short list includes college professors, photographers, ministers, counselors, college students, doctors, and store employees, all of whom have suffered personal loss because they chose to be true to their conscience and their religious convictions. The Washington Post cited several of these cases. I've quoted them to you before. Crystal Dixon encountered this firsthand. She was serving as Associate Vice President of Human Resources at the University of Toledo, Ohio, when the editor of her local newspaper wrote an article equating sexual orientation with skin color. As a black American, she took exception to this, submitting an editorial that was published by the newspaper. In her article, she argued that it was possible to change one's sexual orientation, but not one's skin color, also stating that it was unfair to compare the suffering of blacks in America to the suffering of homosexuals. What was the reaction to her article? She was fired by the university, even though she wrote the editorial on her own time and did not identify herself as the employee of the school. As expressed by the president of the university, Lloyd Jacobs, her comments do not accord with the values of the University of Toledo. It is necessary, therefore, for me to repudiate much of her writing. Jurist and author Marvin Frankel once wrote that the powerless call out for tolerance, achieving power they may soon forget. That is exactly what has happened in America, the land of the free and the home of the brave, as those who were once oppressed are becoming the oppressors. If it happened in my country, it can happen in yours. Bottom line is this. We need to teach our children and set an example in the home that everyone, regardless of their differences, regardless of their peculiarities, regardless of their habits, regardless of their right and wrong choices, they should be treated with the dignity of being fellow human beings, created in God's image, people for whom Jesus died, and people that we should reach out to in love, without for a moment endorsing what we consider to be morally or socially wrong. We can lay down lines clearly about what our values are, at the same time that we teach everyone to be nice. It may not be as difficult as we're making it out to be.